reading to you from Galatians, 1st chapter, 10th verse. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of God. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Mole. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. What dear little God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. Friends, I want you to continue to pray for me. I'm still struggling after this operation, and I don't seem to be healing up too good. But my wife went through her thing the other day for her heart, and we got good report from that, and we're so thankful. Oh, friends, you know I appreciate your prayers. You say, Cecil, it's so hard to pray during these troubled times. Oh, friends, that's when we ought to pray. I'll have to admit, it's not easy to pray. There's so many things in getting in the way. But thank you for praying. I mean that. Well, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Won't you just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax? Pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the first chapter of the book of John, and let's begin with reading with the 10th verse. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe in his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We've labeled this receive Christ or reject him. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? See, the Bible tells us in the beginning of the gospel, here's what the writer said. Matthew begins with Abraham presenting Christ as King of the Jews. Mark begins with John the Baptist presenting Christ as the lowly servant. And Luke begins with the manager presenting Christ as the Son of Man. John began at the beginning presenting Christ as the Son of God. How did the world react to the coming of the Son of God? Well, the rejection of the Word by the world, verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He was in the world, but the world didn't know anything about him. Christ was presented as the Creator. And I read in the third verse, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The world was made by him. Now, proof was offered that Christ was a creator during his earthly ministry. And we read in John 2:1, excuse me, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother Jesus was there. and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they waited a while, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to them, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto him, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto her, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto her, draw out now, and bear unto the governor the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. When men shall have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. The beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Okay. Walking on the water, we read in John 19:20, so when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith to him, it is I, be not afraid. You've heard me mention this several times. Several times with heart aches and heart attacks and cancer operations and everything else. I will lay there in that bed when they're preparing me for the operation, and I'd listen until I had that small, still voice, be not afraid, for I'm with thee. Oh, beloved, maybe you're going to be going someday into a big operation, and you're going to say, wow, I'm scared to death. It is normal, dear friends. Now, don't get me wrong. It is normal for a person to be frightened when it's something you don't understand. You don't know what the outcome's going to be. You don't know whether you're going to die on the table. You don't know that. But if you get that still, small voice, be not afraid. You can just sit back and lay back and rest in the arms of Jesus. Well, we find that Jesus was raising the dead. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. Oh, friends, you say, why is that in the Bible? Because it's very important. It showed you the power of this wonderful Savior. Here's a man who's been dead for 3 days. His sister said he stinketh. But you know what? Jesus wept because of his compassionate heart. You say, oh, I don't believe he wept. He sure enough did. Oh, yes, he did. Why? Because he loved Mary and Martha. He loved, and that was her brother. But he wept, and then he showed the power that he had by raising the dead. Still, the world rejected him. Herod was so busy with lusts and greed to accept him. Pilate was too busy playing politics to accept him. We have the same thing back in Washington. The rich young ruler was too busy making money to accept him. Well, what is the same in the voice in verse 11? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Oh, friends, that must have been a terrible thing. Here's a man that came down from heaven to walk on this earth to see how you and I live. And he did all these wonderful things, miracle after miracle, but they still rejected him. He came unto his own, and his very own received him not. The Jews had been waiting for the Messiah, yet they did not recognize him. The Hebrew prophets had announced that he would come. In fact, the matters, they gave specific instruction about his death, birth, death, and resurrection. Now listen, Christ fulfilled the requirements of the prophets. What was that? He was born of a virgin in Bethlehem, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, it also tells us, I'm having a terrible time in my throat today, I'm so sorry. Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, thou be a little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that it is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from the old, from everlasting. Well, you say, he was wounded and died for us sinners, for us sinners. Hey, all you got to do is read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Oh, my stars. He died for us sinners. That's what he came in the world to do, beloved. You say, Cecil, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know the life I've lived. Of course I don't know. But I do know this, that the Bible said we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'll tell you that. You believe that? You say, oh, I'm not a sinner. Well, you're in bad shape. Because you are. I was a sinner. Yeah, you said, Mo, but you were nothing but a stinking drunk. You're right. You named it. And what did it say in the Bible? Drunkards shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And you think I didn't know that wasn't in the Bible? I sure do. Oh, I knew it was in there. Mm-hmm. Well, it tells us in Zechariah 12:10, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his own son, and shall be in bitterness for his firstborn. Still, he rose from the grave, and still, here we're said in Psalm 16:10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Well, but they still won't receive him. What did he say in 12th? If for as many as received him, to them become, let's read that again. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. The rebirth of those who received Jesus as Savior, 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons and daughter of God, even those that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, it says, as many as received him. Oh, some did, some didn't. Jews or Gentiles can receive him. Then he said, whosoever will may come. Let's look at John 6:37. All the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. What a blessing. Those who receive Jesus Christ are born again. You know, years ago when I was pastoring a church in Oregon. Anyway, this Sunday morning we had a big crowd. And I was just preaching up a storm. And a great big 6'3" guy jumped right up out of his seat. He said, "Hey, preacher, did I understand you to say that this church is the only one that's going to heaven?" I said, "Heavens, no. I said, whosoever will may come." Did you know that night I introduced old Jake to Christ, led his wife to Christ, led his daughter to Christ, led his daughter and two sister-in-laws to Christ, and a sister. Jake's in heaven right now. I talked to his daughter not so long ago, and she said, "Oh, Brother Mo, Daddy died so good. He had cancer, but he died so good." You see, if I had not answered that man with the scriptures, there's a possibility I would have never been able to reach him. Did you know your church is not a perfect church? If you say you are, you're hiding your head under a basket. There's no perfect church on earth. No. When we're born again, we're born into a perfect church, but we do not belong to a perfect church. Nicodemus learned this when he came to Jesus by night. Remember, he said, "You must be from God, for no man doeth the miracles that thou doest, except Christ be with him." And Jesus said, "Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So if you don't remember anything that I said tonight, just remember that. If you are born again, the Bible said that we are born with a heart of stone. We have the old Adamic nature. But when we receive Christ, he takes out the heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh. And then our name are written in the Lamb Book of Life. He said, I'll never remember your sins. I'll cast them into a sea of forgetfulness. Just think, all the terrible things I did when I was lost. He said, I tossed them in the sea, and I don't remember them anymore. Those who receive Christ are born into God's family. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of men, but of God. I ask you this question. Have you been born again? The one who was before all flesh became flesh. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The one who was in heaven came to earth. Oh, my stars. Philippians. We're at Philippians 2, 5, and 7. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Let me ask you, beloved, tonight, will you receive Christ or reject him? All the years that I was an alcoholic, I knew there was a God. Sure did. My mama used to read the Bible to me and my sister by the hour. We lived so far out in the country, we didn't have churches out in the country. But I remember her reading the Bible to us. And I remember that picture of Jesus holding that little lamb in his arms. Oh, I'd look at that picture and look at it and look at it. And then one day, I was in that picture. Oh, friends, let me tell you what. One time I was going to Bible college, and I was praying this night, and I knew God told me someday I'd be preaching in the Columbia Hall. Well, I knew where the Columbia Hall was, just a little ways from where I lived. Well, years later, my wife and I, we rented a big building and started a church there in Corbett, Oregon. I'm down checking the furnace. My wife's up getting all the flowers ready and everything for this morning service, Sunday morning service. I heard her holler, cease, come here. I didn't know what was wrong. I run upstairs. She said, you know the name of this place? I said, no. It's a Columbia Hall. Years before God told me where I'd be pastoring. The Old Testament has been prophesying the coming of Jesus for years. He did come, and they rejected him. Now, I'm asking you tonight, if you are not sure, you say, but Cecil, wait a minute. Now, I go to church, I read the Bible, I pray. That doesn't mean that you're born again, beloved. The Bible says this is written that you may know that you have passed from death unto life. Now, if you've not asked the Lord to forgive you and save you, you're still lost in your sin. But if you're tired of this wayward life, I want you to bow your head with me right now. And I want you to pray. I don't want you to pray this unless you get a tugging at your heart by the Holy Spirit. And if you feel that you really are sick and tired of the wayward life, you'd like a new life in Jesus, bow your head to me right now and pray this prayer. But oh friend, please don't pray this if you don't mean it. And here's how the prayer goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the very precious name of Jesus, I'm confessing that I am a hell-deserving, hell-bound sinner. But, oh God, tonight, the best way I know how, I'm opening my heart and inviting you in to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, I'd love to have you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. Oh, I won't embarrass you. I sure won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. Only I'm concerned where you spend eternity. Please give me a ring. 303-471-8534. And dear friend, if you can't afford that call, don't be afraid to call Collect. I'll accept the charge. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. Well, dear friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I want to thank you so much for listening. Oh, I know I'm not a great orator or a great preacher, but oh, I love Jesus. And I love you people out there. You say, Cecil, what's a gig? All I want you to know that God loves you, that Christ died for you. And if you'll repent, he'll come into your heart and he'll write your name in the Lamb Book of Life. And when this life is over, you'll have a home in glory. That's all I'm in there for. I'm not preaching for money. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm preaching because God called me 55 years ago in Seattle, Washington. And I've been trying to do it. Have I failed the Lord? Oh, many times. But, oh, dear friends, I want you to know that God loves you tonight. Well, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking out for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.